Welcome to Diddy and Hawthorne in the In-Between, or DH&I. I'm your host, Mackenzie Gentz, and you're listening to our podcast about the relevance of literature in the 21st century. Now bookmark that book, and let's begin.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu unserem Podcast. Today, as you have all already garnered from the title, we are talking about minimalism and stress. The episode that we did a few months ago, linked below on minimalism, is actually one of the most popular episodes that we've ever had on the show, so minimalism is definitely a topic we'll be visiting more in later episodes. February, for some reason, is the most stressful month of the year at Northwestern. I have no idea why that is, but I remember combing through some of my finances from last year and asking myself why I had only spent $12 in February 2019. So whether it was and is a single factor or a combination of things like weather, juries for the music school, and grant application deadlines, I have no idea. I do have to say though, February is basically upon us and I am feeling the pressure big time, so today we thought it would be a good idea for me to share my experience of why and how being a minimalist has helped assuage and, well, minimize some of the stresses of having an ultra-busy schedule. The first concept is one that I talked about in the last minimalism episode we published, and it's something that Fumio Sasaki discusses in his book Goodbye Things, which is actually the book that got me into minimalism in 2016. The concept is very simple. If you have less things, it takes less time to maintain those things. In the book, he gives us the example of cleaning your desk. If you have 10 figurines on your desk, then you have to take the figurines off, clean each figurine, then clean the desk, and put all of the figurines back on the desk. But if you have no figurines on top of that desk, cleaning it is as simple as wiping down the surface and leaving it to dry. To pull an example from my life, I used to have over 30 cheap pairs of earrings that I had accumulated since my getting my ears pierced at age 12. The problem with that was, though, that I was probably only wearing 3 or 4 pairs consistently, so I had a lot of guilt about owning those things and not putting them to use. It was also much harder to keep track of and maintain that many pairs, especially as the 3 or 4 pairs that I was wearing started to break and wear down. Now I have less than 10 pairs of higher quality earrings, and I no longer have the guilt or remorse that I had before because I wear all of them pretty much equally. Also, I now clean my earrings regularly, which is not only healthier for me, but also better for the metals, meaning that I can expect to have these same 10 pairs for years to come and not have to shop around every few months for new ones. Minimalism also helped me be able to designate a home for every item that I own, which in turn ensures that my space is always 100% tidy, that it looks aesthetically consistent, and that I never run into a situation mid-semester where all my desk and my surfaces have been buried in silverware and paperwork. This idea is also very simple. When I use an item, I use it and then immediately put it away afterwards. For example, when I eat a meal, I always leave time to do my dishes and put them properly away directly after finishing the meal, rather than putting them in the sink and waiting to do them later. Doing that in turn saves me time later because then I don't have to spend 10 minutes trying to clean old food off of my dishes. I treat this maxim like an investment of my time in that if I build in the time right at the end of each task to take care of what I need to take care of, it's saving me the time and mental space later that I can use to do bigger and better things. The third reliever of stress that minimalism provides me is a visual relief. It's incredible how much we rely on our eyes and visual information to give us ideas about the world around us. And after a class or a long day of practice, I like to go into a space where I don't have a million things to process every time I enter. At my desk where I'm sitting now, I have 3 things posted to the memo board: a keychain, a printout of my weekly schedule, and a list of my short-term goals. That's it. If you walk into my space, you won't find a full wall of collage or pictures hanging on the wall, but instead 4 4x6 framed photos of my favorite authors. In this way, then, I limit my visual clutter in my everyday life and space in order to focus on thoughts, ideas, and tasks, rather than, for example, how my pictures might look or how my figurines are lined up on the shelf. Number four is mobility. This one might not seem to be as lined up with relieving stress as the others, but hear me out here. With my minimalism, I know that I can travel to live anywhere in the world with just two suitcases on hand, and though I don't think about that too much in my daily life, I am able to keep up the sense of the freedom that comes with that lifestyle. And I think that behind the scenes, knowing that does help me in my day to day. For example, when I go to Munich to study abroad next year, I won't have to worry about packing and storing enormous amounts of stuff here in Chicago, but rather I'll be able to spend the same time elsewhere, like booking a more cost-efficient plane ticket or reserving a mailbox for letters home. And finally, number five, where I'm going to talk about wardrobe. I have a capsule wardrobe of 40 items, including gowns for performing and winter wear, but excluding jewelry and shoes, and everything in that wardrobe is either white, black, off-white, navy, or gray. I do have a few accent pieces, like a baby blue cashmere sweater and my Nicolas Cage pants, but everything in my wardrobe goes with everything. I don't have to worry about planning outfits because no matter what combination I choose, I know that it's going to be bold and it's going to contour my silhouette in a way that complements my body. For example, I've been loving this monochromatic navy look with a navy turtleneck tee, and I pair that with a jean jacket or a navy blazer with shoulder pads and some 70s navy colored bootcut pants, which usually transforms my pear shape, if I've done it right, into a cone shape or an hourglass shape, depending on the width of the shoulders with whatever jacket I decide to wear. I think it's important, at least for me, to have flexibility with the way I look and with my silhouette in particular, and having these built-in color constraints in my wardrobe has given me a creativity and a flexibility with dressing that I didn't have before moving out on my own. It seems strange, but limiting the colors in my clothing items actually ended up giving me more freedom and more options later on when it came to dressing, and that's something that I no longer stress about in my everyday routine as a minimalist. What are you guys' thoughts on minimalism? How do you deal with stress in your personal lives? And what are the things that are important to you when considering building a wardrobe? I'd love to hear your responses through the blog link in the description, and I will see you all on Thursday. If you enjoyed the discussion and would like to hear more from us, there is a show and a series for everyone, so I'd recommend checking out our website, relevanceofliterature.com, under the ongoing series tab for links to our entire back catalog of episodes. We also have a couple of open surveys that you can find through the links in the description, so if you have 3 minutes while you're waiting in line somewhere, we would very much appreciate your feedback on our show. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode, and we'll see you next time. Still there? One more thing then. Remember that leaving a comment or a review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or any other Guilty Pleasure podcast platform helps leverage the show so that other literature enthusiasts can find the community. In other words, it helps a ton. Auf Wiederhören!